The New Testament Epistle to the Romans, chapter 5, verses 12 through 21. If you have not yet done so, please stop the video and read the passage, noting its outline, its structure, and its themes. Reading from the New Revised Standard Version, updated edition, verse 12. Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death came through sin, and so death spread to all, because all have sinned. For sin was indeed in the world before the law, but sin is not reckoned where there is no law. In the Greek, the past tense is often indicated by the aorist tense verb. For example, death came and was. The same aorist tense is used for present tense general truths. Thus, death spreads to all and all sin. Let me explain. New Testament Greek verbs have five tenses. First, there's the imperfect tense, which describes what was happening in the past. Then a perfect tense, what happened in the past with enduring results into the present. Then the present tense, which describes what is currently happening, as well as the future, what will happen. The aorist tense, however, has no time, unless it is accompanied by an adverb of time, or the context indicates something in the past. Without an adverb, however, the aorist usually describes a general truth or something that is always true or always happening. Thus, the context can determine the time, and it can be any time. For an example of timeless aorist tenses, see Romans 8:20, which we translate, those who he pre-knows, he calls. Those whom he calls, he justifies. Those whom he justifies, he will glorify. We can retranslate these verses as follows. Sin came into humanity by what one human, Adam, did, followed by death. That is how death comes to all humans, in that all humans sin. Thus, before God revealed his laws, sin was already in humanity. So, just as Adam sinned and died spiritually, later physically, so we humans, we also sin and must die. So, let's take the phrase, because all have sinned, or all sin. The Greek here, epho, translates literally, upon which. It may be causal, meaning because, or resultant, meaning as a result. This is what Paul himself wrote in the year AD 56, or thereabouts. In the 4th century, when Jerome translated this passage into Latin, instead of upon which, he translated in quo, meaning in whom or in which. In the next century, the famous theologian Augustine interpreted this Latin phrase to mean all sinned in Adam, thus concluded that we all inherit Adam's guilt. We are born guilty. Calvin and his followers followed Augustine and invented the doctrine of total depravity, meaning, since we are born guilty, we are completely evil and can do no good. However, looking at the passage, there is no mention of guilt, only of death. It is death, not guilt, which passed to all humans when they sin. Let's consider some implications of this. Adam, in the Garden of Eden, was first innocent, meaning he could have become immortal. However, Adam was created able to sin, Some suggest also Abel not to sin. But when the devil tempted him, Adam had to choose whether to obey God or to obey the serpent. Well, Adam, being mortal and having sinned, became guilty and died. Now, all of us humans who are descended from Adam, we too are able to sin. But are we able not to sin? However, we are born into the world, which is ruled by demons, in human flesh, which is temptable and able to sin, and under the power of the devil and his demons. Thus, we are all tempted to sin. And given enough time, all humans do, in fact, sin, thereby incurring guilt, and we must die. When God later gave the law through Moses, this enlivened our conscience, making us conscious of our own sin, whereby we incurred even more guilt. So why did God do that? Adam was a progenitor of Jesus himself, who was mortal, that is, he could die, and he was also tempted by the same devil. Now, some have noted that if Adam's guilt is transmitted to all humans, then Jesus was also born guilty. And so some churches invented a theology to try to keep him from inheriting guilt. But Jesus, being human, was able to sin, yet because he was divine, he definitely was able not to sin, and did not. For Jesus became obedient to God and died completely innocent. Scripture says he was obedient unto death. Now, those who put their faith in Jesus and faithfully follow him, God forgives them everything, and they are saved. They will not die forever. However, those who reject Jesus retain their guilt and will die spiritually, physically, and forever. But there is an exception. The case of innocent human beings who have no guilt and also will be saved. And who are they? Abortions, stillbirths, infants who die young, and children who have not consciously sinned. So, death passed on all men. Verse 14, yet death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who did not sin in the likeness of Adam, who is a pattern of the one who was to come. The likeness of Adam, that is, conscious disobedience. Death, remember, begins with the spirit. We lose connection with God. Later, our body dies, and if we had not repented, then we will be separated from God forever. Moses is the one who gave us the written laws of God, which reveal to us our sin and how much we are guilty before God. Sin, remember, is to disobey God's revealed will. However, he does that, certainly through Scripture. And what is this pattern? Well, it sets the consequences for everyone. And who is the one who was to come? Why, that was Eve's descendant, who was also Abraham's descendant, and King David's descendant, and Mary's descendant, or seed. What does this have to do with gifts? 15, but the free gift is not like the trespass, for if the many died through the one man's trespass, then much more surely have the grace of God and the gift in grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for the many. Well, what free gift is that? This is the first time it's mentioned in this epistle, but it was a well-known idea amongst early Christians, the gift of everlasting life by faith in Jesus. Again, we have the aorist tense, describing a general truth. The many die, and the grace abounds. This gift, then, is by grace or kindness of the Father, and given by the Son. 16. And the gift is not like the effect of the one man's sin. For the judgment following one trespass brought condemnation, but the gift following many trespasses brings justification or acquittal. The first word, gift, is a word that means any object or privilege. Sin here is a present tense, meaning a sinful action. The second term, gift, is a different word, meaning an act of grace or kindness. And the trespass was when Adam violated the command of God. A trespass is to violate a revealed command of God, for which we may now be acquitted. 17. If because of the one man's trespass, death reigned through that one man, much more surely will those who receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. To reign is an aorist. Death is reigning, and righteousness is reigning. To receive is a present tense verb. We are receiving grace and the gift of righteousness, and will reign in life is a future tense, whether temporal, future in time, or a logical future, the consequence. Verse 18. Therefore, just as one man's trespass led to condemnation for all, so one man's act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all. Trespass, again, is to disobey even one command. And we who do this, we experience spiritual and physical death. The one man's act of righteousness was when Jesus endured death on a cross. And to justify, we recall, means acquittal leading to everlasting life. And when it says for all, we understand to all who believe. Verse 19, for just as through the one man's disobedience the many were made sinners, so through the one man's obedience the many will be made righteous. The one man in the first instance was Adam, and the one man in the second instance is Jesus Christ. The many here is used in contrast to one. The many here does not suggest that there are many others. Because of what Adam did, we all become sinners, but this is unfair. However, we may also be made righteous. This too is unfair. About this term, all. Well, in Scripture, as in your own language, the word all sometimes means without exception. More often, however, it's almost everyone or everything. In conversation, it's all those which we are talking about. And in my case, all those which I am thinking about. Many times, it's all with certain exceptions. When the Bible says all, we should always ask, all which, or which all? What does this have to do with making of laws? 20. But law came in so that the trespass might increase. But where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. So that, just as sin reigned in death, so grace might also reign through justification, leading to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. It increased, both in the severity of sin and of however, eternal life far surpasses anything that happens during this short lifetime. Well, for next time, please read Romans chapter 6 and come prepared with your queries observations, and objections.